Over to you, Tom.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hopefully you can hear me. If not, do let me know in the chat conversation below. That would be great. Hello from Southampton. Feels a little bit like Eurovision. It's great to be with you this morning. I'm very grateful for the technology that we have, that we can share this morning together and hear from God's word as well. Hopefully, if you've got kids with you, you've got the activity sheet that I've prepared. That's something that you can use this morning during this time, but also feel free to take that into the week and use that as some activities to talk about Jesus throughout the week ahead. So we're going to spend a little while now thinking about the prayer that Graham read to us from John chapter 17. Let me pray for us as we begin our time together. Father God, we thank you for your words. Lord, we pray that right now you would open up our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. Now we ask that you would speak to us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Sorry just to interrupt, Tom. I was just wondering if Peter Machin could not keep sharing his screen. So I'm just going to turn you off, Peter. If you could not share your screen, that would be great. Thanks very much.
Great.
Sorry, Tom, back over to you again.
No problem. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. So a lot has changed in the past few weeks, hasn't it? It doesn't really take me to say that. A lot has changed. Our routines, our relationships, our responsibilities, all of them look different in some way. And if you're anything like me, then the last couple of weeks you've been processing all of this. Maybe if you're a parent and you've got kids that you're now homeschooling, perhaps you don't feel like you've had the chance to process any of this at all. There's not much of our regular life which hasn't been impacted by COVID-19. A simple example of this for me is that I've not been able to do my normal leaving the house pat. You know, kind of that moment when you leave the front door and you do that little pat down that you've got your kind of phone, keys, wallet, maybe a child if you're taking them to school, making sure that you've got those essential things with you as you leave the home on your way out. All of us have those little checks that we do, which as we leave, give us this sense of security and purpose as we go into our day. Things that we just give a brief pat to assure ourselves of, now for us have become bigger questions that aren't so quickly answered. Now, I don't want to start this way to stress you out, but to highlight that the things we normally prioritise to help us cope with the day, they've radically changed, haven't they, in such a short period of time. So there's this question for us to consider this morning. How do we cope now that we can't rely on all that we knew before? And what is it that truly matters in life? These are some big questions that we're going to spend some time thinking about this morning. In short, what should we prioritize in our day to help us cope with these changes? A couple of weeks ago, we might have found it pretty easy to list off what our priorities are, whether that's being with family, getting our work done, paying the bills. Pretty simple to kind of shoot off those priorities. But might there be something more fundamental that's going to make a difference to us? Something that truly matters in life? Something which won't be taken away from us? Big questions, but ones that we're going to take time to think through this morning. And the reason why we're going to give time for that is because I believe there is an answer to those questions. And to see what that answer is, I want to take us to this prayer, this remarkable passage in the Bible in John chapter 17. Now, the reason why I say that it's remarkable is because we get to hear what is on Jesus's heart just hours before the cross happens. We get to have this insight into this personal and intimate prayer between the Son of God and his Father. And right at this crucial time in his life, right before the cross, we get to learn what Jesus' priorities are, the things that he prays for. And so surely those are going to be important for us, aren't they? And I think what we'll discover is that the thing in life which truly matters most is this: to know the truth. To know the truth. Why do I say that? Well, let me show you this in three key verses in our passage. Verse 3, he says, they know you, the only true God. And then verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And then verse 26, praying for future Christians, he says, I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known. So you just, there's something about knowing the truth. But what do we mean by the truth? Did you see that when Jesus refers to the truth, he's not just talking about truths like facts and information, which is a relief to me, because I feel like I've taken in so many statistics in the last couple of weeks. And as I do, they only make me more worried. No, he's talking about the truth about God. These big questions of what is God like and how can I know God personally? Well, the answer to both of these questions is Jesus. To know the truth is to know Jesus, and to know Jesus is to know God, which is an incredible thing to say, that you and I can know God. And as Jesus prays, we learn how we can know the truth and we learn how it's going to shape our lives. So let's start by looking at verses 1 to 5. The heading I've got here is Know the Truth. Verses 1 to 5, Know the Truth. So Jesus prays, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Glorify isn't really a word that we use very often today, but Jesus is simply asking that the truth about God would be revealed. That the truth about God would be revealed. Jesus wants to go ahead with the cross because there we are going to see God's glory most clearly. At the cross, we're going to see what the Son is like completely, because the Son is God. It also means that we're going to see what the Father is like as well. So the Son is the one who wants to give eternal life to people. He's going to the cross that we would have eternal life. But we also read that the Father is the one who sent the Son, who's given the Son authority. And so we're actually seeing the Father's heart as well is to give eternal life to those who have turned away from him. So do you see that as we see Jesus going to the cross for us, we're also seeing the Father's heart as well. This is what God is like, full of love, full of grace. But what is this eternal life that they want to give us? Well, this eternal life shows us even more how great God is, because this is what he says eternal life is. Verse 3, eternal life is that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Often eternal life is pictured as kind of floating on the clouds, singing hymns for eternity, which, if we're honest, doesn't really fill us with lots of excitement, does it? But that is because we were made for more. And the greatest thing about eternal life isn't that it goes on forever, but that we get to know God. And it's amazing that it goes on forever. Maybe as our lives have been stripped back these last couple of weeks, we've realized that we are longing for something more. Well, this is what God holds out to you, and we can receive it. If we've not done so before, we can receive it by coming to Jesus. Now, that might seem like a big promise for such a small action, to have eternal life just by coming to Jesus. But we've seen in this last week that just because something is simple, it doesn't mean that it can't change a life. Think about this slogan from the NHS about staying home saves lives. That to stay home saves lives. We've had it repeated to us for the last week or so. But Jesus' message says that by coming near to him, he can give us eternal life. So simple, but yet it will completely change our lives. Now, that's not to say that because it was simple, that it was easy. In order for this invitation to be given to you, Jesus had to go to the cross with your sin on his shoulders. All of us, we've gone elsewhere in life to find life and to find fulfillment. We've turned our backs on God, and that rightly deserves death. But Jesus stands in our place in order that we would know the truth and that we would know God. It wasn't easy, but his invitation is simple. Come and know God. So I wonder if you're listening this morning and whether you do know him. Might your current situation be the opportunity that you need to reach out to him? Well, what about for us who are already Christians? Well, these verses draw us back to the main thing about how knowing Jesus is better than anything else. And we've got this opportunity now as lots of our comforts are taken away to know this and to show this in our lives. Now, I've been challenged in the last couple of weeks with these recent limitations and have realized that I have valued some of these conveniences and relied on them more than God. And it's painful to see those things in our hearts. But yet it's wonderful to clearly see again the reality that I do know God and that is so much better. So I wonder, if you do know God already, how do you need to be reminded of the truth, the reality that you know the living God? Because as we're about to see, reminding ourselves of the truth will have a profound impact on our lives. So let me show you this in the following verses, in verses 6 to 19, where Jesus prays that we would be protected by the truth. Verses 6 to 19, protected by the truth. Now, in these verses, Jesus is primarily praying about his disciples. All of them are going to face incredibly tough times after Jesus has returned to his Father. Most of his closest disciples are going to be killed for their faith. And so Jesus prays for them. But we can apply this to ourselves as well, because we are also in need of protection. In verses 6 and 7 and 8, Jesus is emphasizing that his disciples are people who have trusted his words. They have trusted Jesus' words that he is God's savior. And if you and I, if we are truth people as well, two things happen to us. We're made different from the world. We have been made spiritually alive and so fundamentally different in the world. And we read that in verses 14. But also, secondly, we receive the protection of God. Verse 11, Jesus prays, protect them by the power of your name. So we've been fundamentally changed. If we trust Jesus' truth, we get God's protection. So how is it then, a practical question, how can we stay protected? Well, Jesus shares this with us in verse 17 as he prays, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Now, the word sanctify here means to make us different from the world, to make us holy, set apart. It's about being changed by the truth of Jesus. This is how we are going to be protected. So what does that look like in practice for you and for me? Well, Satan, who is against us, he's not most concerned about whether we live or die. What he wants is to make us indistinguishable from the world around us. A world that has turned away from God. He wants us to believe the same things and therefore to then love the same things as the world. And actually, this is really important for us now. Because our lives have been suddenly changed to something that we haven't chosen, and we become aware of these old lies which we have believed. And we're also going to be confronted by new lies. What do I mean by that, by old and new lies? Well, an old lie might be that we've believed a particular thing. Maybe that my money and my routine give me security. But as that security has been taken away from us in the last week, we find ourselves needing something else to trust. This old lie has been exposed in our hearts. And a new lie might be a message from the movies that we've been watching. If we've made more time for Netflix or we've been enjoying a subscription to the new Disney Plus, which isn't a bad thing. But all entertainment has a message which at some point is rooted within the world that we need to be able to understand and see. These messages are believable. The world loves them, and the devil's work has got incredible production value. So it's incredibly attractive. So if you and I want to protect ourselves from a weak faith, from being exactly like the world around us, then we need to be willing to take a step back and analyze these messages in light of the truth. Dan Strange, in his book Plugged In, he gives us four really helpful words to help us do this ourselves, to take a step back and analyze the messages of the things that we watch and we read and we play. These are the four words. If you've got a pen and paper, do note these down. Enter, explore, expose, and evangelize. Enter, explore, expose, and evangelize. I can only do a quick taster here, but parents, you can use these to discuss a movie that you've watched with your kids in the last week. Or all of us can be doing this and can make it a topic of conversation over dinner. So what do I mean by these four words? How do they help us to analyze the messages of the things that we are encountering? Well, enter, to enter. That means to ask the question, why is it that others relate to this particular thing? What's the story that it's telling? What's the story that it's telling? That's to enter into this message. Explore. Exploring is about searching for elements of grace. What good and human longings does it reveal? And how does the gospel ultimately fulfill these longings? So enter. What's the story that's being told? Why do people relate to it? Explore. What are the elements of grace here? How does it point us to what we need in Jesus? And then expose. How does the story then fall short of what it is promising? And maybe how is it destructive? How does it fall short of its promises, and how is it destructive? And then lastly, evangelize. This could be to ourselves or to others. How do we remind ourselves or others how Jesus is better? How are we going to do that? So enter, explore, expose, and evangelize. Let me give you just a super basic example of what this might be like. If you're consuming loads of Disney classics in the next few weeks, then like millions of others, it's probably because we get a buzz from the nostalgia and the dream of our happily ever after. Now, there's a reason, isn't there, that why millions of people love it. We want to live in a restored world, like things used to be. We were made for a world filled with harmony, and where our ultimate happiness is found in a secure and a perfect love. And Jesus died to bring this restoration with our world and with the God who made us to know him. But also, we need to expose. If all we had was Disney's message, then we would be left with a sickly taste in our mouths, because nostalgia, it ultimately ends and we're left with reality. Not to mention, to expect our happily ever after in an earthly relationship, well, it puts a crushing expectation on ourselves and on those that we're in a relationship with. So this message can't live up. It's not everything. But yet in the gospel, we have hope. We have love and we have security in Jesus, which is freeing for our earthly relationships. And it means that we can be looking confidently to life in the future with Jesus. So do you see how simple that is, just to go through those four steps, to pick apart the message, to take a step back and actually see, actually, how is Jesus better? And like this, then we won't be shaped by the messages that we're trapped in isolation with. And actually, even more than that, they'll help us to worship as we remind ourselves that there is something better that we already have. So let me ask you, when could you have this kind of discussion this week? And who with? As Jesus finishes praying for his disciples, he reminds us that he is the one who brings about this fundamental change in us. He's the one who's going to the cross for us to set us apart fundamentally. And so he's also with us as we engage with the world. In fact, he then tells us that he's got a job for us in the world. Look with me at verse 18 if you've got a Bible. He says, as you sent me into the world, sent them into the world. So you and I have been given a job to do. What is that? Well, it's to be evidence of the truth. Verses 20 to 25, be evidence of the truth. I don't know about you, but as I've read through this prayer, I can find myself thinking, why doesn't Jesus just take us out of the world? It's a hard place. And to be honest, it would be preferable if he just took us out to be with him. But the reality is that Jesus has a world to save. And he's going to use people of the truth to. He says, I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. So we are going to be the means to introduce people to Jesus. And you know what? This current global situation is an enormous opportunity. And other people have recognized that the world needs hope right now. Children have been putting up rainbows in their windows to bring a smile to people as they pass by. The world is in great need of hope. And this is such a wonderful thing to see, people putting up pictures. It's fantastic. Yet there is something unique about what we have both in our message and in the lives that we live that is better, that is a greater reality. Now, hopefully it's clear that our message is like no other. Through the gospel, we meet Jesus and we are changed by God. Through forgiveness, we can come into relationship with our Creator. This is our message. And this is a better message than anything else that we're going to be hearing, anything else that we're surrounded by, that the world is telling us. This is a better message. This is what people long for. But Jesus also prays that our lives would be evidence of the truth of our message, specifically that we would love one another. In verse 22, he says that we've been made to be like God and that we have been united with God, so that we as a people will be united together, so that we would love each other well. Why does God want to do that? Well, verse 23, he says, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Friends, there is nothing more important as this. Loving each other is not an optional extra. It is evidence that we have been loved, an extraordinary love. And let's pause on this verse for a moment. He says, then the world will know that you have loved them even as you have loved me. To love one another shows the world that it is possible for them to experience the same love that Jesus has enjoyed for all eternity. In the way that we love, people can see that that is possible, that we would be loved with the same love that the Father has for the Son. Now, how are we able to do that? Because I don't know about you, but loving is hard. How do we do that? Well, by embracing the truth that you are loved by the Father in the same way that he loves the Son. That's what the cross has bought for you. Though you and I, we are completely undeserving of it, God has lifted you up into the love and relationship of the Trinity, and he has put his life within you. This is true about you. So embrace this love, because this love has power to change us if we live in it. And you know, there have been generations of testimonies of people who have come to faith because they have seen that there is something different about the way that we love one another. Because the way that we love one another confirms that there is a greater love out there to be found. What does this look like for us practically? Well, So first of all, it means to live in the truth of Jesus's love. Let it change you. He has given everything to you. Verse 24, he prays, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. God has given you the very best thing in the world, that we would be with Jesus and to see his glory. We have everything we will ever need there. And so we are free to love others and serve others as God has done that for us. So if we live in this, then when we get to the end of our isolation, we can say that we haven't watched X number of box sets or we've completed X number of projects, but at the end of our isolation, we know Jesus' love better. Don't you long for that? So let's live in the truth of Jesus' love. And also, secondly, live visibly. Live visibly in your homes, online, in your community if possible. You could start a WhatsApp group with people on your street and include another Christian in it and see if anybody needs your help, but let your relationship be visible. Parents, this is a unique opportunity to turn the language of your home into one of love. And now, even if it's not felt like that, that's the atmosphere that you've created in the last week, God has not written you off. His love remains in you. Let your love be evident so that others in your house would know that when you talk about Jesus, you're talking about something that you've known to be true, that they've seen in you. So live in Jesus' love and live visibly. So friends, if you want to be able to cope, build your life on the truth of Jesus' love for you in his death, in his resurrection, and in the life that he now gives you. Prioritize knowing his truth. It will protect you, and it will be the evidence that our message is true. Let me pray for us. Father God, it's an extraordinary thing that we can say that because of Jesus, we are loved by you as much as you love Jesus. Lord, it feels daring to say that, but it's here in your word. Lord, this love is better than life. And God, no doubt for all of us, we have turned to other things as our securities and our comforts have been taken away from us this last week. Oh Lord God, I pray for your church. Lord, I pray that we would rely on the truth of your love for us, Lord, that it would protect us, that it would change us, and Lord, that it would be evident in the way we love those around us. And Lord, for those who are with us this morning, listening, aware that the things that we've trusted for our security have been pulled out from under our feet and they're looking for something new, something that will last. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that they would hear your call to them to know the truth, to know you, Lord Jesus, as you make a way to know God at the cross. Amen.